Hey guys, this is Tracy welcoming you to episode 22 of Animation Station. This week, Robbie and I are reviewing the 1973 French-Czech film Fantastic Planet. This episode was a request from a listener on Twitter, at Sketchy Soul, also known as Angela Ensminger. Thank you so much for your request, Angela. If you have any comments or have a film you'd like us to review, you can find us on Twitter via at @lobster_writer and at TC Trausch. We had a lot of fun checking this one out, and we hope you all enjoyed as well. Thank you very much, and happy listening. Bye.
At least I can keep myself warm with all these loan payments. Anyway, hi.
I'm going to knit a blanket out of the bills I get from my loan owners.
Just rain dance. I just, like, fan it out over all the people that... You know, maybe you went to class with, and they're just going to be like, oh, stop it, I'm trying to study.
I'm actually going to throw it at my students and give them...
You know, you should just fan it into the fire. Just be like, nope, didn't happen. As far as I'm concerned, you're nothing more than Kindle.
Yo, Robbie, you don't have a fireplace in this building. Yes,
sorry,
I
kindling.
Do. Now I do.
Yes. But that's beside the point, because we're a minute in and haven't even said what we're doing. Hi, Animation Station, Robbie and Tracy. That's Robbie. I'm Tracy. We're here to talk today about a... very interesting movie.
Yes.
A very French movie.
Yes. 1973 Fantastic Planet.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic or Savage, sometimes it's...
Fantastic. I think it's... I think the literal translation is The Savage Planet, or
well,
like...
If I've seen... What I'm saying is I've seen it as both.
I think... Well, the English translation that we have is Fantastic Planet.
Yeah.
So we'll go with that.
But it's, as we said, 1973 movie...
directed by René Laloux, or
yes.
Lalau, I don't know. It depends how extreme you want my non-regional dialect to sound, but I assume it's Laloux. It looks like Laloux.
And it, is stop-motion animated, actually.
Yeah, it's crazy. Kinda... Like, it's a sci-fi, psychedelic film, it's all cut paper, so, like, it's very, it's kind of unusual because the amount of, we forgot the most important part about why we're reviewing this movie. Well... Let's bring that up, shall we?
I was going to.
Yeah.
Anywho, this movie was recommended to us by a person on Twitter named Angela Ensminger. You can find her in various places at Sketchy Soul.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's actually her website. Name is SketchySoul.com.
Yeah, and we checked out a number of stuff. We actually watched a few of her animatics. It's really cool. So
yeah, she does some good stuff.
Angela, first of all, thank you for interacting with us, and thank you for being great, actually.
Yeah.
Because we checked out your, like, just your website and everything. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I started following you. If you saw Be Arthur the Vampire Slayer, that would be me. So, but yeah, so thank you for your suggestion, Angela. We had a lot of fun watching this one.
Yes.
It was certainly strange, but it was great fun to just kind of check out
and
appreciate the technology of the early 70s and how many drugs everyone was on.
Yeah, well... Yeah, it's definitely psychedelic.
I don't want to be that person that's like, oh, they must have been on drugs when they made this. Like, no, I'm fairly certain that they were. Even though, it technically, this was based on a book.
Yes, it's based on a book, like, Ohms in City or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
So, it's a movie about humans on an alien planet. And this alien planet is inhabited by these... Compare for us, they're massive.
Yeah, I would say that they're probably roughly, like, what, 12 times the size of a human, if we're going based on, like, just a regular scale. I mean, like, because even the kids are huge.
Even the kids are huge.
Yeah.
And, like, the kids can, like, pick up...
Yeah.
I think, like, a human is probably the size of a kid's hand.
Something like that, yeah, because they're,
they
there's a scene later where, like, one of the dragons is holding him, and, like, well, when he's a baby, he's, like, super, super tiny.
Well, yeah,
obviously. Because he's a baby. But, like, when the protagonist is fully grown, like, he can still fit within her palm.
Yes.
Like, yeah, they, but yeah, I would say, like, they're pretty enormous, so.
Yeah, so they're these big blue people.
With red eyes, they're super creepy.
Yeah, so
like
terrifying.
Pinprick
like
pinprick eyelid, or pupils.
yeah, they don't have like a... It seems, I mean, they must have, I don't know.
I don't think that they do blink. I mean, well, because you remember there's one scene a little bit later wherein the female protagonist, she actually draws on eyelashes surrounding where her eyes are. Because
I
think she realizes that she and Tara, like, obviously they're not similar, but she like sees, she's like inspecting this little human that she adopts. And he's got eyelashes or something. I think she's just like, oh, I'm going to make myself look pretty.
Maybe.
So,
so maybe they don't have eyelids.
Ahead of it. Anyway.
We're jumping around.
Yeah, they're these super creepy, tall, blue aliens with red eyes that basically treat humans as though they're like pests or pets. Like,
yes.
They're like little creatures, basically, like our equivalent for like mice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And about the same size. And about.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, roughly the same size.
So the movie opens with this really weird scene where this woman is like running around this like alien landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And as she's running around, eventually this blue hand appears and stops her. So she starts running another direction. And this keeps happening until
yeah,
I think
cat
she...
and mouse game, basically.
Yeah, and I think I don't remember if she drops the baby or puts the baby down. But then she's picked up by a blue hand.
Yeah.
And dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And then dies.
Yeah, repeat like a couple times actually. It takes her about three times for her to actually die, because
yeah.
like the hand picks her up once, and then I think she's trying to evade the grasp or whatever, and then she's just like. Apparently, the fall didn't seem too extreme, but you have to assume that it must be a lot
yeah.
of trauma. So.
And so then it zooms out, and that's when we kind of see these, the Trogs for the first time.
Yeah, these three punk kids.
Yeah, really?
Who presumably are just, like, some, like, you know, like, the same jerky kids that you would see burning ants on a magnifying glass on a sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
These little turds
well,
show up and kill this kid's mom.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, like, right away they're like, oh my gosh, it's Master Sin, we should run, and they run away.
Yeah, because they're a bunch of cowards.
Yes.
Anyway. But now, Master Sin and his daughter, Tiwa. Or
Tiva.
Tiva, I think, is how it's spelled. It's T-I...
W-A.
Yeah, W-A. But it's pronounced Tiva.
Yeah.
I think it might just be the French pronunciation. Yeah, we watched this in French. There is an English language track, but we're purists and snobs, so whatever. We watch it with the original French.
Yeah, yeah.
So
Tiva comes and decides, I'm going to make this thing my pet. And so she starts caring for this.
Yeah, she names him Terr, which I think T-E-R-R, which I don't know. I assume it's supposed to be a like maybe like something synonym to like a synonym to Earth or something, because Terra is
yeah.
Earth,
so maybe it's supposed to be a masculine version of Terra.
That could be it. Yeah.
So
okay, and the people are referred to as Oms. I don't know if we mentioned that, but like O-M as in like Om.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a play on the French pronunciation of the word home.
Which is a word for human.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's a word for man. Like male. Like H-O-M-M-E.
My bad, I misunderstood
that. Yeah. No, it's okay. But yeah, they belong within this society of... The Drags are, I guess, supposed to be, like, something of an intellectual race, because they have this, their entire society is basically built around, like, they have, like, diplomatic summits or something with other, like, Drags on that planet. The planet that they're on is called Ygam, also, Y-G-A-M.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's short for something or whatever.
No, I think it's just the planet Ygam.
Yeah, they just went for it, so. But, yeah, they, the Drags basically value intelligence, being, I guess, like, being in a relatively egalitarian society, I guess?
I guess. I don't really
like
know.
It. I don't know. And, oh, and also meditation.
Yeah,
it's pretty
meditation.
Big. Yeah,
which...
basically all towards enlightenment and self-fulfillment. So.
Right, and we find out more, like, the enlightenment is mentioned, like, pretty much right away.
Mm-hmm.
Near like, the end of the movie, you find out more about that.
Well, yeah.
So
we'll
kind of address that when we get closer to it.
Yeah, it's kind of brought into the subject itself as, like, a rite of passage, basically. Wherein, like, young Drags, like, when they're maturing, basically have to go through meditation and learn how to focus themselves enough to be able to basically leave their bodies and assume these, like, roles in, like, these little bubbles, I guess?
Yeah,
little
they
red
float
bubbles.
Around in these little red bubbles and their pupils disappear.
Yeah.
Which happens at 13, mm-hmm. which is what kind of pops up later in the, like, somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
So Tiva adopts Terr and starts caring for him. And through that we find out one Trog week is equivalent to a human year.
Yeah.
And then also, after she adopts him, they put this little collar on him so mm-hmm. that he can't run away.
Yeah.
And then it's got this little watch component where she, like, flips a switch and he...
Yeah.
is dragged to her by the collar.
It's actually pretty violent, like, with the way... Because, like, the collar itself looks almost like a lifesaver or something, like,
it
around
reminds
its neck.
Me, you know what it reminds me of? Is those weird things you see on, like, horses, like a horse collar?
Yeah.
That's what
yeah, I know what
of.
You're talking about, yeah. Because it was, like, you feel so bad, because when they first put the collar on Terr, he can't be more than a toddler. Like,
yeah, he's a
maybe
baby.
Five?
Well,
maximum,
like
I'd
no,
say
he's
like
crawling.
Was it? Oh yeah, he could
he's
probably he could be
walking.
Like between like two or three, maybe.
Exactly.
Like,
and it just it drags.
Yeah,
you.
Like,
right. Like it's but, magnetized, yeah. and you're in
but,
the way.
But at least Tiwa is careful enough to just be like, oh, I better not put this too fast so that I don't snap his neck and kill
yes,
him. And
exactly.
Like, so she has some empathy more for the than you would assume that the rest of their society does, because basically the rest of them can like just systematically kill them or just like try to. You know,
yeah.
get rid of them because they're worried about overpopulation. So
yeah,
much similar to mice or vermin.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Right, and that's one thing they bring up fairly early, is that they have a population control system in place for the OMS. I think it's like every 3 cycles, but we don't really have a good sense of what that means.
Yeah, cycles are kind of vague, I guess.
It's a little vague. To me, it seems that because 3 cycles would be at least 1 generation of humans.
I would assume so, because it looks like, okay, so they mentioned that there's apparently seasons, so I assume that cycles and seasons are, you know, synonymous. But we don't know how much of a gap there really is between that, because I guess technically it could be if Terra goes from being roughly like about 2 years old to being, I think, like a child, like maybe still like an adolescent, but maybe around like 9. Can we assume it's maybe like 7 years?
Yeah, so there's like, that's like 7 weeks.
Yeah, so like we're talking like maybe about nearly 2 months for drags, so, which is not a ton, but you know.
I don't know. We kind of, we were debating that as we were watching it.
Yeah, we kept, but I like that because it made us think about it.
Yes. But the significance of the collar, aside from the fact that it is a literal, like, chain on him, is that through some malfunction in it, he can receive information from Tiva's headphones.
Yeah, there's, like, some kind of faulty wiring, or there's something that's, I think, exposed on the collar that allows Terra to not only understand, but he can hear all the same lessons that she's going through.
Right. So that's the Trog education, is they have these headphones that will, like, just basically beam the info into their heads.
Yeah. It kind of looks just like a yellow headband with, like, little beads and
stuff. Yeah, a bunch of, like, light bulbs on it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, pretty hits the nail on the head, but yeah. So.
And so she, like, held him in her hand when she was taking the lessons, and that's how it happened. And so he acquired this knowledge that he shouldn't have had. So when Tiva turns 13 and she does her first meditation, she starts to be bored with Terra. Or at least that's how he perceived it.
Yeah. I think I just get the impression that obviously her parents are pushing her more into studying, absolutely. Focusing on meditation. So.
They want her to be a nurse. Gosh, dang it.
They want her to quit popping pills. No. So yeah, basically once Tiva starts going through her rite of passage with the rest of her fellow drags, Terra is basically to the point where he's intelligent enough to start wanting to leave, and he witnesses a couple of instances of what meditation actually does to drags, wherein, or drags or tag, it's same thing.
Trags.
Yeah, I think it's trags.
There was an old,
I think there was an old edition of the
there
DVD.
There was an old DVD, or not a DVD, but an old dub that, or something that called them drags with a D, but it's actually trogs with a D.
No, fair enough. Oh yeah, so anyway. At one point, Terra witnesses 4 trags that I believe are friends of Master Singh's, or I think Master Singh is in one of them, or he's supposed to be one of them.
Oh, right, yeah, I totally forgot about that scene.
Yeah, like, I don't know how you could, but, there's a scene wherein Master Singh and 3 of his friends or associates basically are all meditating at the same time, to the point that their bodies start to kind of dissolve into like this very cool morphic animation.
Yeah.
So they go from actually having bodies to it just looking like it's their nervous system, to them kind of becoming like giraffes or something, or they get like this weird texture, almost like they're melting as like lava lamps.
Yeah, and so they're kind of like blending into the same being.
Yeah,
or something.
And then all their colors just kind of start to intertwine, and then eventually once Tiva and Terra like both witness them, they immediately just like stop. They're like, we need you to go like right now. You're not ready for this.
It was a little weird.
Yeah, I was like, it kind of led me to believe. Was there any other kind of further connotation that we're supposed to?
Yeah,
take
I thought there was something.
Like
something
somehow
going on
she
there
was seeing something messed up. Yeah,
could be. I mean, maybe that was like a gay orgy or something.
I don't know.
I don't know why.
We're not
I jumped
going
to
assume that it's an orgy, but
not saying it's a gay orgy.
Not
but
saying it's not an orgy. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, but, so eventually, Tiva goes off as, something of a pilgrimage, I guess, and, Terra is left to his own devices.
Well, no, I think she's just off doing, like,
something like that, yeah.
When they do their first meditation, I think it's, like, they all do it, like, in the same place or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what it kind of seemed like. But, yeah, so he's left to his own devices.
Yeah, and he ends up stealing her devices and leaving.
He takes the headphones and runs.
Yeah, somehow he's strong enough to be able to hold that, but it's like, maybe he lifts, I don't know.
I mean, we see a scene where he fight, where there's a bunch of Trogs and they all have their little pet, and they're all fighting them because they're awful people, I guess.
Yeah, they're basically doing the equivalent of dog fighting, with these little tiny Oms. Like, some of them, like, there's a showdown, I think, actually, between what's considered the toughest guy and his fighter who's something of a veteran among alm fighting.
I guess.
And then Tara gets put in there and just, like, wails on him.
Just,
he's
like,
done. Well, because, like, gosh, well, the vicious. Veteran, yeah, it's like the veteran alm is basically, like, a 50-something-year-old. And Tara's like, I'm gonna hate you to paces, because he's, like, 15 and ornery. So he just, like, just straight up owns him, and then they're just like, oh, we need to take him out.
Yeah,
right now.
They're like, we're not playing with yours anymore.
Yeah, it's just like, he's too mean, and it's like, well, Tara's just sort of, like, obviously frustrated, so.
Yeah.
But to be fair, Tiwa was very reticent about putting him in the first place.
Yeah, well.
So she's just like, I don't really want to see him kill anything.
Right, yeah, and she was afraid. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
So he, as he's running, Tiwa gets home and activates the leash.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the headphones, he, like, gets caught on a thing, and then, random free Om.
Mm-hmm. Who's a lady. Lady Om
is just running around and frees him, and then brings him back to her home, which is this huge, hollowed-out tree in an abandoned park.
Mm-hmm. With a bunch of other feral Oms, I guess.
Yeah.
Feral is a relative term, I guess, but in this world, we can probably use that.
Yeah, well, they're not owned by anyone, so
yeah, that's true.
They're wild.
Yeah, maybe they were at one point, but who knows. So he gets brought into their society, and immediately they just all start ripping on him, because we should probably mention that there's pretty terrible fashion in terms of pets, like, in terms of pet
right.
within this world.
There was this weird, Tracy was telling me about the Commedia dell'arte, which, if you look at the costumes that Tara gets put into by Tiwa,
pretty spot on, actually. At least with some of them, and it's like, he wears, like, these really, like, elaborate wigs and, like, little...
Well, like, when he gets there, he has these weird shoes that are, like, super long and they have, like, rabbit feet or something.
Yeah, it's kind of strange, and it looks like he's almost wearing, like, baseball padding or something. Like, that's all I thought of. It's just like, okay, so he's clearly wearing some kind of baseball getup, and he's got weird, like, little camel feet, so whatever.
Yeah, but, strange.
But yeah, so they essentially, they don't believe him at first when he mentions that he has a knowledge about how Trag society works.
Right, and there's this debate for them, like...
They've got, like, a council, basically.
Well, they've got a chief, and then he was like, we should... I have these headphones, they'll teach about Trogs, and then we'll be able to sort of take advantage of that knowledge and then, you know, do something with it. And one of them is just like, no, I don't accept this.
Yeah.
And so they, in order to resolve it, have this amazing little duel.
Which is pretty outstanding, because basically, they strap these weird alligator worm monsters onto the arm. Like, so they strap one onto Tara and onto the guy that's I choose you.
Well, the way they do it, too, is, like, so they tie, like, your hands back, and they, like, strap it to your chest, to your, like, your torso.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the tail goes basically it goes between your legs.
Yeah.
So it's this really weird fight duel with these, like, alligator worms. And I
guess it's how they control them. I don't know. You would assume that, like, with their arms tied behind their backs for these monsters, like, that would have done it, but apparently not. So
yeah.
But
so then they
we kind of fell in love with them, because they've got these super cute faces, despite the fact that they totally basically. Did they bite the guy's face off, or they bite him on the shoulders enough to the point where he bleeds, I assume, and dies from bleeding, so.
Well, it killed the other one, and then I think he bit the dude.
Yeah.
So they start listening to the headphones for information. And during this, what does happen there?
What I think happens is that they put on the headphones, and then they start learning more about Trag society, like how the cycles of the other planets work, like, just kind of, like...
Right, because there's this whole...
Yeah, like, there's like, a very weird, like, kind of hierarchy. Basically, it's a lot of important stuff that leads to both, like, Trag society, how they deal with things, how they go about exploring, where they find new resources and areas to explore, I guess. And also, there's a point where I think they start talking about the flora and fauna of Egam, because of obviously, where they live.
I think there's a little bit about that.
Remember, and that kind of factors into the Om start learning how to deal with creatures on the planet, because they live in this kind of wasteland area where there's just a bunch of very dangerous animals and creatures surrounding
them. Well, they're in an abandoned park, so it's like these weird animals coming in and trying to find food. The thing is, they stole food from
a rival tribe.
From Trogs.
Oh, yeah.
And so they found these boxes that would have writing on, and now they can read it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right, and so that was one of the things that was important, but...
Oh, yeah, but it was because they were learning that the Trogs were going to end up wiping out all the Om that were on that planet. They were going to do, like a mass kind of genocide, I think.
Yeah, well, that's the thing I couldn't remember, because I know there's...
I think they were prepping themselves to learn how to fight because they there was like a certain deadline that was established for it. So they had to like learn like when it was coming and then equip themselves enough to battle because remember when they took down that monster.
Oh no. Okay. I don't remember. Wasn't that it? So they killed the dragon. So they killed this weird goofy dragon thing, which I actually loved. Except for its
bat
weird
dragon thingy with weird chicken legs. But we thought he was awesome. Yeah, his design was so cool. But it was pretty brutal the way they killed him.
Yeah, they killed the hell out of him. But so they learn how to read, and so when they're coming back from one of their raids to, like, steal stuff...
Yeah.
Raids.
It's kind of a raid.
They see a sign saying, like, that there'll be... There's an extermination happening, like that.
Yeah.
The population control is kicking in at this point. And then I think when that happens is when they kill the Trog. Is that when it happens?
I don't know if it's that well, but...
Because I'm having some trouble remembering.
Well, no, yeah, so when did this part happen, though, with the dragon thing? No, because I thought that, before like... That. Well, no, like, I thought that the reason that they ended up killing the dragon was to show that as a collective, they would have enough strength to take down a Trag. Because, like, it looks like it's comparable to in size.
No, it just... That thing just straight up attacked them.
Did it?
Yes.
Okay, I thought that there was a reason for it. Like, they actually hunted it down.
No, they were just... It was just hungry and attacked the tree.
No, fair enough. Yeah, okay, so...
I don't...
Well, there are two Trags that were walking on the street, basically.
Right, and then one of them started stepping on the alms.
Yeah, or, like, trying to drive them into the sewers, and then you're just like, well, like, forget that mess, and then they straight up kill that Trag, and then the other one's like, oh, I gotta get out of here.
They went Lilliputian on him and, like, took him down.
Yeah, like, full on Gulliver's Travels, just take him out.
Yeah, killed him, and then the other one runs away, and I think that's when they're like, okay, we need to exterminate them.
Yeah.
Flat out.
Mm-hmm. They have a lot of, like, these weird C-SPAN meetings, too, where, like, they just go between, like, all these different delegates and stuff.
They have, like, this huge cube, and then there's, like, there's, like, a congress, basically, around the cube.
Yeah.
And there's, like, five or six guys in the cube talking.
And then they get put on the Jumbotron whenever any one of them is talking, so...
Yeah, it was
strange. Okay, these alms are too smart. We have to enact our, basically, mass killing
now. Yeah, they become dangerous now.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's, I think, when they decide to go full genocide, and so...
I hope that phrase doesn't become an ongoing thing with us.
Yeah.
It's like, so today we watched Titanic and it was just a full gen... No, that's terrible.
No.
That's not even true. It was
not even animated.
Yeah. There is an animated Titanic movie. There's two of them. Do you know the ones I'm talking about?
No.
These terrible Italian animated ones?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, you don't want to see it. They're horrible.
Very well.
Absolutely terrible.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, please do. Don't bother watching them. They're horrible.
So... They go back to the tree, and I think at that point, they've got, like, these weird robots that, like, they're like a Roomba, but with a bunch of, like, weird cannons that shoot things up.
Oh, yeah, the things that shoot at the, like, basically the bug bombs, or these, like, poison pellets or whatever.
Yeah, they shoot out these weird things that look like Mentos or urinal cakes or something.
Urinal cakes. Okay, so they shoot out evil Alka-Seltzer tablets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they, like, activate, and it's like a bug bomb.
Yeah.
And they've got, like, other alms with gas masks that are, like, rooting out alms, I guess.
They actually look really cute.
They do look adorable. So Tear and a bunch of people from his tree escape.
Mm-hmm. And it kills off most of them, but there's still a collective of them. Yeah.
And they end up escaping to, like, a rocket graveyard. Like, a rocket ship graveyard.
Sure. They just have an abandoned rocket factory.
I think it's like a junkyard, basically.
Yeah, it seems like it, yeah.
That they repurpose to make a rocket.
Yeah, which is pretty crazy because, like, I mean, if you think about it, with them the size that they are, it wouldn't be that tough for them to make rockets. It would just take a long time.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were in there for weeks, which is equivalent to years for them, so.
Yeah, so I think it was about 2 years for the like that. I think so. I don't know what it was.
But it was...
Anyway, yeah, time is relative in this movie. They take a lot of
time movies. Is not real.
Yeah. Anyway. Nothing is real.
So they go, they're like, okay, we're going to take this rocket, we're going to go to this planet, which is...
Oh, it's called Fantastic Planet.
Yeah, which is the actual...
namesake of the film. They said the name of the thing.
So they go to the Fantastic Planet, and they find these giant sculptures, and they see the meditation orbs that people form into.
Yeah, they position themselves on the top of the necks of these, like, weird sculpture surrogate thingies. And the Trogs actually interact with other species that way. Like, they dance basically on top of these huge naked people.
And that's how they reproduce.
Yep, apparently. It's just
and that's
like
how babies are born.
Yep. And kids, that's how you can go from the Olive Garden to third base. Just turn yourself into a little orb. Like, they can't see that you're squinting at me.
I know. It's entirely for you and me.
anyway, yeah, so the Aum are like, oh, okay, this is gross and weird. So,
and they start zip-blowing up the sculptures.
They're just like, well, we gotta stop this.
Well, so they realize that this is how they reproduce, and they start blowing up the sculptures.
Yep, and it's actually kind of freaky, because apparently, in order for the Trags to meditate, it takes complete concentration to... Basically, once the Aum start destroying these sculptures, they go into full freak out mode, and their eyes basically disappear, or like they're completely blacked out and they're blind. They can't see or do anything. Mm-hmm. They're just like stumbling around the rooms. They're like, okay, this is messed up.
Like, yeah, and so then we see another one of these like weird Congress meetings, and Master Sin's like, okay, clearly the Aums are very intelligent,
mm-hmm.
and we have made a grave mistake by
underestimating them, basically.
Yeah, and treating them like animals.
Mm-hmm.
So we should forge peace with the Aums.
Mm-hmm.
And thus peace and then was they formed. Like, it was the weirdest, just like,
they're just like, let's not fight anymore. And okay.
Everyone just goes, cool, let's not fight anymore.
Sweet, we'll do that then. Yeah. And then the movie ends.
Yeah, that was the one thing that kind of bothered us. We're like, yeah. And movie's over.
Well, I think it was just, like, relative to the rest of the pacing, because the movie itself is pretty short, I would say. It's, like, what was it, like, I don't think it was more than, like, 90 minutes. Was it? Like, roughly about 90 minutes? Something like that.
So, but, it's standard running time.
It felt a little bit longer, but I think it's just kind of, like, we're so used to much faster pacing in movies nowadays, because, like, we've got, like, your Baz Luhrmanns, your Michael Bays, your Christopher... Well, sometimes Christopher Nolans.
Your J.J. Abrams.
J.J. Abrams. But yeah, no, I was just mostly blown away by how solid the animation was. To know that, like, it's all cutouts, basically similar to what they did in Monty Python with, like, Terry Gilliam's animation style, which I love.
Yeah, that was, like,
so weird and so exaggerated and silly.
This reminds me of Terry Gilliam.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, the amount of work that goes into it, like, I've done stop motion before, and it's, like, it's a great medium to work with, because you've got, like, you basically have all the parts that you need, but the problem is that it's so tedious and time-consuming. Mm-hmm. Where, in, like, with hand-drawn animation, it's kind of the same thing, but sometimes it's easier to, like, draw a frame or just, like, draw a mouth or something moving. With stop motion, if you even screw up, you have to go back and, like, redo a scene.
Right, yeah, well, that's the thing, right? Like, there's some cheats for...
Mm-hmm.
Like hand drawn and stuff.
Yeah.
Those don't really exist, I assume, for stop motion.
Not really. It's just more of like you have to be very careful with what you do. It looked like this is. I'm 90% sure that this is done in multiplane, so that means that there are different levels within the environment that they can change. But just the amount of detail that they had on each character, especially the designs of the Trags, I thought was really interesting. Especially, like, I'm not really sure why, but for the female Trags, they've got, like, holes cut out where the boobs
are. Yeah, I don't know.
This is, like, the second thing we've reviewed recently that had, like, weird boobs. Or, like, oh, no, first it was The Last Unicorn, then this one. I feel like, oh, and Five Goes West.
Five Goes West.
I don't know why. Boobs. They just seem to keep happening in kids' movies, and it makes me kind of uncomfortable.
It's a weird...
I'm starting to think that there are perverted people that work in animation.
Yes.
Looking at you, John Kay. Not anymore, because I don't want to give you the attention. Nope, not a fan.
Anyway.
What else did you like best about it? What did you think about the overall flow of everything?
I think it was it was nice that it was very slow, but it wasn't... it had a nice even pacing. Like, it was pretty consistently paced throughout. But it didn't, it didn't rush, and it just didn't throw, like, 5,000 things at you within half an hour, right? Like...
I think they understood that the amount of information that they were trying to convey kind of had to be laid out a little bit more evenly, as opposed to, like, just front-loading you with stuff. Because that's the one thing that really bothers me about films, is that if the exposition just comes too quickly, it doesn't really leave you as an audience member to really understand what's going on. And as we kept watching it, I got more and more fascinated about what was happening.
Right.
Because, like, of just the way that their society functions and everything, and immediately how Tyr's role completely changes as soon as he, like, leaves, and he has to go through and prove himself again.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's just not so much about him being, like, the pet of this little girl.
Right, yeah, so. That was kind of the thing that I was like, all right, so what are they doing with this?
Mm-hmm. What were they trying to say with it? I did that weird thing where you, like, put your middle finger and your thumb together. Like, say if you're going to say, like, pasta fazole, like that thing. Like, what were they trying to... Anyway.
No, it's the old... And that's always the question for the English language. What are they trying to say?
What do they really mean?
What does it, like, mean?
But, so what does it mean?
I have no... there's a lot of parallels drawn with the Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
Some people talk about animal rights in regards to it, which is pretty obvious, but yeah, I don't think
seems
that's
pretty abundantly
what
clear.
What were they going for?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's the 70s. They could. So.
Yeah. So it was kind of a thing there.
But I like the idea of that the... It at the end of the day, it has a nonviolent message, which I really like.
Oh, yeah,
because
absolutely.
It's like the way that they figure out their enemy is by becoming more knowledgeable about them. And but they don't want to use that as like a warmongering sort of tactic. They use it in a way of just like, okay, eventually the Tregs are like, we have to admit that we're matched by these people. So we just have to call a truce and just be like, all right, look, you know what's going on. Let's just call it off, because we don't want to lose any more people, and you don't want to lose any more people.
Right, well, that was the thing about the Alms throughout the movie, is it seems like they're pretty non-violent unless they're pushed to it.
Mm-hmm. Or they need to eat, and they straight up drink the blood of a dragon. I think we kind of forgot that part.
We were like,
Maybe they are trying to paint them as a bit more savage. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
But how much of that is done out of necessity? But I like that they use all the parts of the weird space dragon.
Yes.
Yeah, it's very considerate of them. They drink the blood. Thank God they didn't bathe in it. Like,
yeah,
that
would
have been so creepy. It's just like, I don't know if I want to sympathize with them anymore. I'm starting to think the Tregs have something
going. The skeleton
into some
kind of weird thing, like a tiny ship.
I love the fact that the dragon had, like, the skeleton was also in his wings, like his bat ears or whatever. That was so cool. Like, just seeing that carcass was so awesome.
Well, that was one of the things about the movie itself that was so cool, is, like, they really kind of went ham on the whole alien thing. Like, the planet is so weird.
But it's so cool, because you can kind of see sort of where they were going with some of the monsters, wherein there's one that, like, it kind of reminded me of, I don't know, like, not Snivy. I'm thinking of, like, a Pokemon. Like, I don't know, like if they took Clefairy's arms off, basically, and gave her a big old long nose. And then use that as a way of, like, trapping prey and then eating it.
Oh, yeah, that thing was weird.
Yeah, that thing was crazy, but I love the design of it.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, these weird, like, kind of butt-looking monsters that can apparently make clothing for humans.
Oh, yeah, those,
like,
weird little worm things.
Yeah, where they, like, they basically kind of, like, strip you down if you're already wearing clothes. And then they make you some really cool outfits, and apparently they only make them in toga form. Which I love.
Yeah, they made really weird one.
Yeah.
Clothes.
Even though I thought that they kind of dressed Tare in a woman's one, but I'm not sure.
That was...
Maybe that's what the girls were laughing. They're just like, tee hee hee.
Well, yeah, I got there was a weird sense. I got a weird sense with that whole thing as well.
Mm-hmm. But...
But I don't know, they didn't really do... I don't know, there wasn't a lot there.
I just thought it was kind of interesting that they managed to have creatures that are also tailors.
Yeah,
like,
I was...
Like, how thoughtful of this planet. Like,
what a nice old planet.
Had I known, we would have just blown them up and then let them clothe the Tregs, because they're missing some stuff there.
There's some clothes there that are,
yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you're into the marble thing, go for it, but I don't know. I prefer, like, actual fibers. That's just me. So, what did you... Oh, also, the music is incredible in
this
movie.
Music.
We totally forgot about that.
Great.
Yeah, it's like, we're the biggest suckers for good music in movies.
Oh,
because,
absolutely.
Like, but it's so essential, especially for a movie like this, because it establishes your atmosphere, the kind of feeling that you're going for, and everything was just, like, really awesome funk or, like, slow-paced rock, which is so cool. Like, I want the soundtrack.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, we kind of didn't... I mean, there's obviously dialogue and there's narration, but it is... For the most part, like, a pretty quiet, like, silent. Mm. Like, for a lot of the movie, it's just music.
Yeah, like, you could easily take out the dialogue that happens with the Tregs and make it a silent, easily. I mean, if there are certain scenes where it's not entirely clear, but all the most critical moments that you need to see are all done visually, which I think is the most important part of any story, at least in, like, an animated or film media. So,
yeah, yeah. When you're working with a visual medium, it needs to be conveyed.
Yeah,
that
because
way.
Like there are the critical scenes of seeing Tare's mother get killed by the stupid punk kids, Tare learning about, or like him becoming a pet, learning all about Treg society, leaving, basically making his way within that society, them killing the Treg. Like, all the most critical parts to me are all ones that don't have dialogue, because I got kind of bored when they were just talking about things in the Treg diplomatic society sort of thing.
Well, yeah, because there's one scene with the headphones where it's telling you about, like, the way that different sections of the planet are set up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like prefectures or something. I'm like, I don't really care.
Yeah, it's like, listen,
but, like,
I get it, but also stop.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, it's established that, like, this is, you know, like, it's obviously important because this is how they separate out the planet, but at the same time, you don't really care. All you need to know is that the implication is that Terra's obviously learning about it, and he's getting more versed in his knowledge, and he wants to obviously share it with other people, or at the very least, get the hell out of there.
Right. So. Well, that's right. Like, the classic sci-fi dilemma. Do you... And it kind of weirdly divides along the lines of the two most popular sci-fi franchises, right? Mm-hmm. Do you tell us a weird thing and then explain it, or do you just say it and go ahead?
Yeah.
Right, like Star Wars. It's a lightsaber. Well, how does the lightsaber work? No one cares. It's a laser sword. That's how it works.
It's a laser you can retract. Maybe you should stop caring about physics for a minute and destroy this droid.
Right, exactly. Like that's...
I know, not the droids. Destroy the stormtroopers.
Yes.
Yep.
Versus Star Trek, which, you know, has a lot more explanation in it, which is fine. I love both of them. It's just the way you approach it, right?
Yeah.
And so I think...
Well, because there are similar other sci-fi stories, like some of my favorite ones, like Alien and The Thing, are both like the same thing, wherein we're learning more about these creatures as the characters go through them. And I think that that's more engaging for an audience.
Absolutely, right. So taking the time to explain to us, like, oh, the planet is divided into three uvas. Uvas are blah. Yeah. Uva one, I'm like, I don't care.
It's like, I really could not care less, guys. Like, I get it.
He's learning the stuff.
Yeah,
neat.
Whatever. Just tell us the thing. But it's like... I get that. I think a lot of that was probably just thrown in because of the book, so that people that were going in there just being like, this is nothing like the novel. It's like, well, now it's really like the novel, so how do you feel? Just a big old F you.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
No, yeah. But what a fun movie. It was
really cool.
It went by pretty quickly, but we were just mesmerized by some of the character designs.
Absolutely.
I wanted to just draw that weird dragon thing or like the weird butt monsters. Just like the way that they had kind of like laid out the world itself is actually quite minimalist. It's not quite like a desert, but it's
but it kind of,
because like what is it, like the Trek society itself, or like their homes are laid out in these super huge sprawling flying buttress pointed homes, where the biggest features that they have is like the meditation room, because like Tiwa has like a stereotypical girl's room. Like, she's got a vanity, she's got where she keeps her makeup and stuff. Tara basically lives in like this little Polly Pocket kind of environment. He's got like a little playset that he lives in, and I'm like, all right, cool. And he puts on these dumb wigs. That's fine. So, but yeah, it's like, I mean, like, their society is not that far off from what we have. So I'm trying to wonder, did they end up taking any of those like living habits from humans when they took them from Earth and brought them onto Egan? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, because they do establish that. The Oms come from Terra.
Yeah.
Right, so I don't know if they based that, or if that was just sort of a simple design choice
just,
to make
they
it
just
easily
threw it in there. I don't know.
Comprehensible?
I don't know. I guess I was just curious about it because, like, they seem to base, so their interior decorating is quite human-like, so.
I suppose.
Yeah, and admittedly, like, they do actually sleep, but their eyes just basically turn blank, more or less. Are do they actually have eyelids? Like, do they have the lids go over?
I don't think they do, because they only ever, you see their eyes go white, mm-hmm. and you see their eyes go without pupils, but...
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, they definitely sleep at one point. I know that, like, I think Tiwa takes a nap or she goes to bed with Tara or something.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
I think I'm
pretty sure that they do, but I don't
think their eyes
think
go white then.
Yeah, something like that. Where like basically if you can't see their super creepy red pupils, then you know that
something's up.
Yeah. So we aren't super familiar with the rest of Rene LaRue's LaRue's, that's it. With the rest of his work, but apparently he's super duper into sci-fi, where this was his first feature that he released in 1973, and there was another one, I believe, in 1982. And then there was another one in 1988.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know why. It's just like, it just kind of seems to be his bread and butter, I suppose.
Good for him.
I don't know. Yeah, good for him.
The other thing about this movie that's kind of weird is it was actually a joint French and Czechoslovakian.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and it was made, so it was 1973, so it was during the Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess partway into it, they're making it in Czechoslovakia, and then partway into it had to move to France because of the Soviets trying to shut them down, I guess.
Really? Okay.
That was a thing I had read. I don't know how valid that is, but...
I feel like that could be legitimate. That like, it's not like the communist state has never shut down
anything that
might have an anti-war or anti-socialist state anyway. Yeah. So that happened. But no, yeah. Do we have any other trivia?
No, that was really about it.
Yeah, it's a very interesting film. I would highly recommend that you check it out at the very least, just to kind of like appreciate the technology and of course the music that went behind it.
I'm sorry, it was on that book. You have the 1001 films you should see before you die.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Yeah. It's then. Well, if the book says so.
Well, I'm just saying. Like, it's, it's pretty well like highly acclaimed.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely check it out. I think you can probably find a few clips of it on YouTube. The whole thing might be on there. I rented it from my library.
Yeah.
But
I'm sure you can find copies.
At the very least, you can probably find some of the key moments online. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Or buy a copy on Amazon if you can find it. It seems like it might be somewhat rare. I know they did a re-release of a DVD not too long ago.
2007.
Yeah, so not too far off.
Like, yeah, so you can probably find a copy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you like really weird psychedelic stuff, definitely check it out.
Yeah, I can't really say how this movie would fare if you were perhaps enjoying a substance, but, you know, to each their own.
Yeah, I assume well.
Yeah. But, yeah, I suppose that's about it. Thank you all for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Thank you again to Angela Ensminger for your recommendation. Again, at Sketchy Soul on Twitter, I believe. And I think that's also her Tumblr.
Yeah, I think that's just general, again.
Yeah.
That's also her website, sketchysoul.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, thank you again so much, Angela. We really do appreciate it. And thank you for interacting with us. I hope that you guys enjoyed this episode. And please, anytime that you want to contact us, have any recommendations, anything you'd like us to see, any comments, whatever, look for us on Twitter or Instagram. On both.
Now you know it works.
Yeah, exactly.
She contacted us.
Now get on it. No. You can find me at TC Trausch on both Instagram and Twitter.
And I am at @lobster_writer on Twitter.
So thank you very much, and have a wonderful whatever time of day you're listening to this.
Yes.
Thank you, and take care. We will talk with you soon.
Bye! Bye.
Was not prepared for family. They didn't program me to love, but I learned.